Hello and welcome back to the Millennial Ag Podcast, where agriculture is always on tap and no topic is off limits. Thanks for joining us today, your co-hosts, Valene Cawhorn and Catherine Lotsbeach.
Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode. We have had a lot of deep content episodes, a lot of fun content or interesting content episodes, but you know what? It's been a long summer. It's been hot. We've all had a ton of stuff going on. And so this week, Val and I thought we're going to have some fun.
Yes, it's always good to put some laughter into our conversations and to mix things up a bit.
Yeah, I agree. So let's mix things up a bit, shall we?
That sounds good.
So Val, tell us the topic of today's conversation or topics. What we're doing.
So I'll confess, I threw into ChatGPT because we have been talking a lot about AI and the benefits that ChatGPT has. And I said, so if Catherine and I were to do a fun episode, just the two of us, what should we do? And ChatGPT threw out some interesting ideas, but the one that was kind of fun and lighthearted the most, some of them got, you know, into mental health and some of the areas that you and I like to go into, but weren't as lighthearted. And one of them came back as, would you rather Ag Edition? And some of them were pretty fun. And it got me thinking of, you know, all the times that you do certain things and so forth. So I think it'll be kind of fun to, and we might end up on some fun rabbit trails with some of them too.
Yeah, so let's do it. I love it.
Perfect. I'll throw the first one out at you. Would you rather have to move irrigation pipe every day for a month or sort cows in the snow?
I mean, full disclosure here, the only time I've ever moved irrigation pipe was with a bull rider I dated one summer when I was 17. I went out and helped him on his aunt and uncle's ranch a few times. That's the only time I've ever moved irrigation pipe. And I did not enjoy the experience very much, but I have sorted plenty of cows in the snow. I would like to think that I was pretty good at it, even if I didn't enjoy it. So I'm going to go with what I have more experience doing, which is sorting cows in the snow. What about you?
I think I would tend to agree because, well, and it depends what kind of snowstorm we're talking about, too. Because if it's a, you know, just a straight down snowstorm, I don't mind bundling up and riding my horse and sorting in the snow. If it's blowing sideways at 40 miles an hour, we may have a different opinion. And it depends how long the hand binds are, because if we're moving miles and miles of pipe for hours on end, I would definitely choose the cows. But one line a day, and if I had the time to do, might get me in shape too. So I'd probably go with cows, but my engineering brain can justify both answers if the circumstance is right.
Of course it can. Of course it can. And I'm just going off of emotion here. Here's one that I resonate a lot with. Would you rather spend 8 hours in the tractor cab with no AC or no music?
Ooh, that's a really... And I think we should throw in podcasts or like any kind of entertainment in there.
Any audio whatsoever.
I think I'd rather go with no AC.
Can I give you my experience here?
Absolutely.
John Nye, this is pointed directly at you. One of my jobs in the summer was to drag all the corrals every day on our dairy to make sure that they were neat and tidy and nice and comfy for the cows. And for several summers, well, the first summer I did it, I was on a tractor with no cab, but at least I had the wind blowing in my hair, right? And things like AirPods and phones and all that, even iPods at that point didn't exist. I didn't know what I was missing. But then for the next 2, 3, possibly 4 summers, Dad, in his infinite wisdom and generosity, told me that he got me a tractor with a cab. And indeed he did. And that tractor, besides being the most biggest pain in the rear end to shift, had no AC. And yes, the back window opened. No, it did not matter. It did have music, and that was nice. But when you're in over 100-degree weather for, you know, a month or two out of the year, and you spend hours and hours and hours in that tractor cab kicking up dust, and then the next summer your dad says he fixes the AC and it lasts for the first pen on the first day, as you can see, I am very much over this. I have clearly gotten over this in the 20 years that it's been since I've done that.
So what's your answer then?
I would rather go with no music. It's loud enough in my head, but no AC, man, that painted some pretty bitter memories. I remember actually when we were selling that tractor, my dad loaded it up on the trailer of whoever was buying it. And I hopped up on it and he said, oh, are you going to give it a kiss goodbye? And I said, no, I'm going to give it a kick goodbye. And I did. I'd also like to point out that this was a red tractor and I grew up with green tractors and that's all we had. The red tractor was a total outlier. And I was pretty snobbish about it growing up, and it turns out that I was justified. So
you proved your point when it got loaded up on the trailer.
100%.
I would have to agree, though. I'd rather have a tractor with no cab than one that has limited airflow through the cab or no AC. So,
yeah, kind of funny the preferences you get through when you're growing up in the sauce, huh?
Yep, it is so true. Okay, this one's pretty funny. Would you rather advocate for ag in front of Congress or teach your grandparents how to use ChatGPT?
Oh, man. So I think that they could both be entertaining. I think one of them would be more rewarding, and that would be teaching your grandparents to use ChatGPT. I would love to advocate for ag in front of Congress, but that, unfortunately, these days is more like tilting in a windmill. And at least if you're teaching your grandparents ChatGPT, you can both have some fun with it. I mean, I know at least my grandparents, I've only got one left, but I could have had some real fun with them doing that. I mean, it was like when my dad first got on Facebook, that was hilarious. It was a total hoot. What about you?
I think I would have to agree with the ChatGPT, because we even have like ChatGPT even has like talk to text or voice stuff. And so I think you could, as long as you could show them how to click the button to like record something, then it could kind of dialogue back to them, which I think would be a lot of fun. And it'd be a good bonding experience with your grandparents, whereas there's not a lot of good bonding experiences when you're in front of Congress right now.
I agree 1,000%. This reminds me too, I saw this story a few years ago, but there was a grandma who went viral because she would ask Google please and thank you when she was searching something. So she'd type in the search bar, please can you look up for me, blah, blah, blah. And it would, and she would finish it with thank you. And her grandson found out about this. And I think he actually, you know, like tagged Google somewhere and was like, haha, look at my granny. And she just went totally viral because she was so sweet and innocent. And, you know, here's this grandma who's not up with the technology, but she's trying. And I thought that was great. So.
At Peacock Technology, we're transforming dairy farming with robotics and AI.
Our pre-brush and post-spray robots work on rotary milking parlors to ensure consistent udder hygiene, alleviating labor shortages, and maintaining high standards year-round.
Our advanced vision system and online platform integrates data from wearables and body condition scores, giving farmers a complete view of each cow's health and performance, saving time and cost while boosting efficiency and profitability.
Peacock Technology, empowering better decisions for your herd's well-being and productivity. Visit peacocktechnology.com to learn more.
All right, next one. Oh, this is an interesting one for yours and my backgrounds, Val. Would you rather be an ag influencer or an undercover regulator?
Ag influencer. Hands down. I don't ever want to be a regulator. I buffer enough people from the regulators that I never want to be the regulator. So, and I think ag influencer is broad enough that it doesn't necessarily have to be like your typical advocate, like influencing non-ag people to buy ag. And I think you could get creative and have a lot of fun with it. And especially if it was a full-time job, I'd rather do that than be a regulator in any form or fashion. What about you?
No, I'm with you 100%. Just the work that we did together. I mean, we worked together to make sure that, you know, our customers had all their ducks in a row for the regulators. But it seems like to be a regulator, you have to, like, how can I put this politely? Be a petty bureaucrat. And I don't, like, we've met regulators that we got along with and stuff, but it seems like they're always trying to catch you out. And rather than want to be collaborators and teamwork kind of thing. And you and I have had enough experience with that I would much rather be an ag influencer, that's for sure. So, yeah.
I have nothing against working with the regulators, but I just don't want to be one. That's where I'm at. You know, I think we've done a good job of building a good repertoire with them so our clients don't have to necessarily deal with them on a day-to-day basis. And there are some good ones, but their job is to find things that are wrong and do stuff like that. And I don't like finding things that are wrong.
Right. Well, honestly, I'd rather work in a more collaborative fashion than a checklist of here's what you did wrong. How about, all right, so we found these challenges. How can we work together? You know, and it seems like, again, not every regulator, and you and I have worked with some good ones, but it seems like a lot of the times it's this is wrong, you're wrong. And if you don't fix it exactly in here, we're going to bring the hammer down. And I don't like that. So there we go. All right. Easy answer to that one.
Yep. Okay. Would you rather be stuck behind a swather on the highway for an hour or be the one driving it with traffic building up?
1,000% stuck behind it, because I've never driven a swather down the road, but I've driven plenty of big equipment down the road. And usually if you're an ag, you understand it, but most people aren't. And, you know, they're trying to get around you and it ends up being pretty dangerous, or you get some really nasty hand signs, or, you know, anything like that. And so I would far rather be someone who knows what it's like and be patient behind a swather than to be the guy who had to be in the swather dealing with all of that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the same thing. I don't mind following behind with my blinkers on for him or helping him out or doing whatever, but I let John drive the big equipment down the road and I help tell him if somebody's behind him. So I'll stick with that job every day.
Right. Although I do think, I don't know if John would do it. He's pretty easygoing, but I think that you and I both know people who would love to be in the swather and just, you know, take up all the space they needed to because people were being jerked. You're going to be a jerk. I'm going to be a jerk right back. And I'm bigger than you.
Yep.
Would you rather, I love this one, and the next person who pops to mind is my mom. Would you rather host a farm tour for 5 legislators or 50 kindergartners?
Ooh, you know, having 50 kindergartners, I think would be a lot of fun. It depends who the 5 legislators were, because if they were actually curious and interested in what we are doing, I'd be all over having them out and showing them what we're doing and providing that gap of communication. But kindergartners are at such a fun age where they're so inquisitive, like they want to see the animals, they want to touch the corn, they want to do all the things, and it doesn't take much to like engage them. And so it's a different energy level, but I think having kindergartners out would be a lot of fun.
So yeah, I have experience in both realms. So, I mean, pretty much from the time that our farm was up and going in Utah, my parents have hosted kindergartners and third graders, but kindergartners first. And I mean, those little buggers swarm off the bus and it's just hilarious for 2 hours, you know, and my parents have a very set routine. My mom, especially, she is an educator at heart. She loves little kids and she finds the most creative and fun ways to engage with them and get the message across of what goes on a dairy farm. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I used to get to help. Sometimes I'd get to take the day off of school and help with this and that sort of thing. And we've done the same with legislators as well. And those are two very different audiences, as you can imagine. And unfortunately, well, like you say, it would depend on which legislators it was. And I remember one tour in particular really, really put my mom's nose out of joint, because there was a well-known legislator who came to see us, our modern-day dairy farm with thousands of cows and a lot of computers. And he walked into the office and said, "Huh, you guys have computers. I wouldn't have expected that for a farm." And my mom didn't. But later on, when she was recounting this story, she said that she would have liked to have popped off, "Yep, and we even had indoor plumbing put in last week." So I honestly think from my perspective, I would like doing it with legislators more, just because I really enjoy those kinds of policy discussions and that sort of thing. I've had a lot of fun with kindergartners, but here's where I think the fun twist would be. My mom usually came up with Barnyard Olympics for the kindergartners, and the events changed all the time. And I would like to see some congressmen be bucking little straw bales and milking a pretend cow, you know, running with a cup of milk in their hands to see who didn't spill or who spilled the least. Like, I would like to see some legislators do some Barnyard Olympics. I think that can we marry these two things?
I think that would be fantastic and put some humanization back into some of their personalities. I know at least in Idaho, we have some really good legislators in our district that would be fantastic to have out. But I look at some of the neighboring districts and I'm like, I don't know if, they might have similar comments to the one that showed up at your farm. And I don't know how my patients would tolerate some of that or some. Yeah. So kindergartners are for the most part safe. I mean, you have to make sure they don't run behind the cow or do something completely stupid, but you can kind of herd kindergartners around better than you can legislators.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is kind of herding cats, but it's fun. And actually, one of the funnest things I remember about kindergartners, and it seems like it happened every year, you know, before we got to be a really big operation and there was breaks in the feeding times, we take them out to the commodity shed and let them play in the corn. Inevitably, somebody lost a shoe, right? So someone goes back to school without, inevitably, a month or two later, it would show up not in the feed bunk, but behind the cows. The shoe always came back in some form or fashion, but, you know, Someone always lost a shoe. They had such a good time, they lost a shoe.
Those makes for some good memories. And I'm sure they even remember to this day losing their shoe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Tom Herron, founder of Ag Professionals. Agriculture is always innovating and evolving. And at Ag Professionals, we provide the expertise to help you stay ahead. From land use planning and environmental compliance, permitting to real estate, civil and environmental engineering, and land surveying, we offer one-stop solutions you need to grow and succeed. We're proud to support the Millennial Ag Podcast because we believe in the future of agriculture. Let's build that future together. Visit our website, agpros.com, to learn how we can help your operation thrive.
The next one I have is, would you rather do calving checks at 3 a.m. for a week or have to dig out stuck pivots every day for a month?
No, oh, calving checks for a week, no doubt.
Yeah, that one's a no-brainer for me.
I would rather do calving checks for a week.
Or even if a month, like if it was even playing fields.
I'd still do
calving checks for a month.
Yeah, for sure. This one comes back to our experiences too, especially yours. Would you rather be in charge of all the paperwork for a CAFO, a confined animal feeding operation, or all the labor for a fencing project?
I could do the paperwork in some areas, but all the paperwork is a lot. And it depends how many people we have on the fencing project. I'm going to go with labor, actually. If you think of the layers of paperwork a CAFO has, which you're very familiar with, I'm just familiar with a few pieces of it.
Yeah. Well, you literally run teams that take care of that. It's not just down to one person. Like, you have a team. You work with a team to make sure all of that paperwork happens. So being down to one person would be, I'm with you. Labor for a fencing project. I don't like fencing. I've done hardly any of it, but no way. I think I would rather do a fencing project.
Yeah, you can at least get creative or...
Yeah. There's only so many boxes you have to check for fencing, right? There's a whole lot more boxes to check for CAFO paperwork.
Oh, this one's an interesting one. Would you rather have every irrigation head plug up at once or every cow get out the same night?
You know, I've never dealt with irrigation plugs because we didn't grow crops while I was growing up. I've never had every cow get out in the same night. But there have been multiple pens out multiple times in the same night. And I mean, I know how to deal with it. So I think I'd go with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing about irrigation heads being plugged is you can actually see them and know what's going on. Cows, we have black cows. And when they get out at night, making sure you have all of them gathered is a little stressful. But most of the time they stick together too. So they wouldn't necessarily be scattered out unless it's yearlings. Yearlings are a pain in the tushy. I'm going to go with irrigation heads just because it would be a pain and a long process, but you kind of know what to expect when you get started.
All right. Fair enough. Val, this is a lot of fun. This is feeling like a fun, short and sweet episode. And we always say when I'm doing an episode, just you and me, that we keep it short and sweet and we never do, but I think we might be able to this time. So let's each pick one more. Would you rather explain waters of the United States to a room of high schoolers or describe your ag job on TikTok to go viral?
I think I would rather describe my job on TikTok. I've done enough, like we have a podcast and I've done some presentations on what my job is. So I think that would be easier than trying to describe WOTUS to fifth graders who probably would give two shits about WOTUS anyway.
You know, I'm with you 1,000% because I like talking about my job. And I find that to be a lot of fun. WOTUS has been a buzzword in our industry for the last 20 freaking years. And people have been talking about it for 20 freaking years, don't even know what it means. And like you say, high schoolers could care less. And I think honestly, most of the industry at this point could care less because stop, start. Aren't we? And just let's talk about something different. Like our jobs. That's where I'm at.
Totally agree with you there.
All right, last one.
My last one is, would you rather be chased by a mad mama cow or stuck in the sorting alley with a stubborn bull?
Ew. Okay, so it's a mad mama cow versus a stubborn bull. I'm going with stubborn and not aggressive. If it's aggressive, it's an entirely different story. I'm going to go with the stubborn bull because I've been mildly harassed by dairy mama cows, and that's like, whatever, that's not too hard to survive. But one time I was at my husband's sister's ranch, and man, a mama cow came for me, and I've never been came for like that by any cow, much less a beef cow, and I learned a lesson that day, and it's that I am not fast. And I have been inserting out stubborn bulls, and they don't scare me. Aggressive bulls do, but stubborn bulls don't scare me because I can be just as stubborn back and usually get them to turn around. If it's a dairy bull, again, if it's a beef bull, all bets are off. I'm talking from the dairy industry here. That's what I would go with, though. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'd be in the same boat. Most of our bulls are, like, I don't want to get next to two of them fighting just because they lose common sense at that point and just lose where they're at and run into things, and you don't want to be the thing. But most of our bulls don't charge us. They will get where they don't want to move or do something. But usually if you can get them moving and walk them in a few circles and get their legs moving, you can get them to do what you need to do. Or if I'm on horseback, most of the time they respect my horse. But especially during calving season, with once a mama's been ticked off, and I have last year, I tried to tag a calf too soon after birth, and she nicked me on the hind end and left a little bit of a bruise. And so that's enough to say I was done tagging for a little while, and my husband took over that job for me because I don't want to be a cow bait, and he's way faster than I am. So
right.
I'll deal with stubborn bulls all day long.
Yeah, for sure. That's where I'm at.
Awesome. Well, this has been fun, Catherine, and I think a good break for both of us this week with everything going on. Listeners, we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and it got your brain working in a positive way and thinking a little bit outside the box in a lighthearted way, taking you maybe outside of your kids, your family, your work, and the stressors of life for a week, and thinking about things that maybe you've done on your operation, you've done with your kids, you've done with your husband. What would you do in this situation? And we want to hear from you. So let us know on your answers for Would You Rather, and make sure to tune in next week for the next week's podcast.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Millennial Ag Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and like, subscribe, and review to our podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at talktous@millennialag.com. Until next week, we are Millennial Ag.